Good morning, everyone. So wonderful to be here today. And I want to send greetings to President Dan Anderson, even though he's unable to be here. He's busy in ministry elsewhere. And it's wonderful to be here. So I bring greetings to the faculty and students here. And today I want to say it's such a blessing also to have several of my family and friends here today. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Precious Lord, our everlasting Father, we love you so much and we thank you for every blessing of life. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word and testimony here in this place with hopes, Lord, of glorifying you and benefiting these who are preparing for your service and others, Lord, who are already serving. So blessed now, I ask, help me, Lord, with the fresh anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're gathered to continue the celebration of the 75th anniversary of Appalachian Bible College. And our theme today is, of course, for this entire thing, is servants rejoicing in God's goodness. I love this theme. It's so special to me. It brings to mind Psalm 100. This was the very first passage of Scripture I ever memorized. I was 8 years old. And Carl Johnson was our pastor at the time. And somebody had told him that this 8-year-old boy had memorized Psalm 100. And so he put me on the spot and asked me to quote it. My mind went totally blank. That's happened a lot since then. I hope it doesn't happen today, but I'll do what I can, okay? But in Psalm 100, I'd like to read that. If you'd follow along, if you have your Bible, what an expression of the overflowing joy and gladness we have for God's goodness to us. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The last time I preached in chapel at ABC was 44 years ago. And I can tell you that a lot of things have changed here at ABC. When I first drove on campus after moving back to my native state of West Virginia, yes, born and raised in West Virginia, boy, southern West Virginia, over in the mountains, right near the Virginia line. And today, I pray that today's message will help some of you students, hopefully all of us, to prepare to be rejoicing, come what may. And that's the title of my message today, Rejoicing, Come What May. I just want to, I wish I had an hour, but I don't have a whole hour, so I'll try to use this time efficiently, but I want to give you just a couple of examples of people doing just what it says in our theme statement. It says, servants of the living God, plural, rejoicing in God's goodness. I want to give you a couple of examples. One of them is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm not going to take time to read all that, but I will say this about that. The ark of God had been away from its place for over 20 years. Not all of that time. Israel had lost battles to the Philistines, and they captured the ark, and it was there some time, and because of God's judgment on them, they wanted to get rid of that ark. It was nothing but trouble for them. So they made arrangements to move it home. And there were a lot of complications, but the thing is, it wound up in the house of Abinadab. And so now, the people, people wanted it back. It's hard for us in our society, in our culture, to appreciate the full impact, the meaning of the Ark of God to Israel. It had been such a long time, a symbol of the presence of God. The Ark itself had no magic, did nothing special, but it was a symbol of God's presence and blessing on this wonderful nation, a nation who had a wonderful beginning and failed many times. But I'll say this, when the day finally came, when David and his entourage would go and transport the ark as God had instructed them to, not on a new cart, but to be borne by the Levites, as David and his crew went, there were some complications along the way, and some people laid hold on the ark to stabilize it and all, and there was a real problem, and I'm sure you know the story. But they kind of regrouped and went back and brought that ark back to its place where its rightful place was. And along the way, you need to understand that David and all those who were part of his company, they were excited beyond your wildest dreams. The ark was cherished. It was loved by this nation of Israel. And it's been gone for 20 years plus. And now it's coming home. They were excited and they were happy. You talk about gladness. There was a lot of gladness in that company. And I can just imagine watching, if you would. Try to help me view that scene, if you will. Perhaps they saw this rejoicing a long distance off as they were headed that way. And they were singing and shouting. And so we find that they were playing all types of instruments, harps, timbrels, cornets, cymbals. And David led the rejoicing and danced with all his might. His wife, Michael, didn't appreciate that too much. I guess he wasn't dignified enough for her. Let me tell you one thing. When the Lord has been good to you, don't worry about being dignified. Concern yourself with expressing your gratitude through song and praise to God. And David added an element. I don't know what kind of moves he had, but it says he danced with all his might. Now, when I was a younger man and in the flesh, I tried to dance a little, but I'm not known for my dancing, Timothy. I just isn't that way. But now that I'm an old man, I've got a good excuse. I say, look, folks, I've got a lot of arthritis and I've got nerve encroachment in L5. But David came, and they came, and just imagine being among those in the city. Imagine hearing that sound in the distance. Hey, Roscoe, what's that noise out there? I don't know. And it gets louder and louder, and I say, Roscoe, go check it out. And he runs away, and he comes back, and he says, he said, that's our king, and that's our people, and I think they're bringing the ark back. By now, David and his men aren't the only ones rejoicing. The very reason David is so filled with gratitude and gladness, his rejoicing, he couldn't stand still, and he danced with all his might because his whole heart was in that which symbolizes the presence and blessing of our God. I want to give you another one. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 126, I like this one too. We just finished thinking about David and them transporting the ark. I'm short of words. I don't have the vocabulary to express what I truly believe was in their hearts as they saw the ark coming back to where it belonged. They knew that it was a symbol of God's presence and blessing, and oh, how they needed that blessing. Here in Psalm 126, let's read what it says here. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Folks, we need to pay attention to what God is doing in our lives. Think of it, if you will. God saved us, unworthy, vile sinners, deserving nothing. He gave us His own life. He gave Himself for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. I want to say that these people had been in exile in Babylon for 70 years. I want to make sure I get these details right, because somebody will fact check me and come up later. But they've been in exile for a long, long time. But not now. In this psalm, notice what it said. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It's too good to be true, they thought. And so we need to be careful, to be mindful of God's presence in our life. God's calling. God saved us. Then He equipped us for service. And then He calls us to serve Him. And most of all, He works through us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13 would remind us of that. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. How long has it been since you were so keenly aware of God's love and His blessing on your life and ministry that you just felt like it was too good to be true? And your mouth was full of laughter. I used to be filled with guilt and shame. I used to wonder and have fear, but not anymore. Because the Lord saved me and I'm a new creature in Christ. Yes, He saved me. He equipped me. He called me. And then He works through me. How in the world would I rob God of His glory after He's done all that? And for you too. I know what He's done for me. And I might break out singing right now. I don't know if that's allowed here, but I'm not really a singer. But I'll tell you, when your heart is so full of gladness and gratitude, there's nothing wrong with shouting hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with singing songs of joy and praise to Him. All praise to Him. Amen. Filled our heart with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Can I just be honest with you, as a pastor of many years? I am so disappointed in many of God's people that God has saved and blessed and blessed and blessed. And yet, when we sing these hymns of worship and praise, you would think they were at some kind of funeral or something. Just long faces and barely muttering the lyrics. Come on! What is wrong with us when we can't get excited about what God has done for us and what yet He will do for us? Let me tell you, I'm happy about what He's done. I'm thankful He saved this old country boy. I grew up when I was going to school here, a lot of the time I rode a motorcycle with 61 miles each way. Every day, I got to be here with these wonderful teachers and some precious fellow students. I would go to class, and Dr. Anderson taught American church history. He can make that exciting. I studied under wonderful people. Paul C. Ryder was such a blessing, and all the others. And whenever we come together like this, I can say today, I heard some good singing as you were singing earlier. That was nice. I liked your playing. But folks, our singing shouldn't be to impress somebody out there. It's not to impress someone who's looking at this service as it streams live. There is one in heaven who bore my sins in His own body on the tree, according to 1 Peter 2:24. He took my place on the cross as surely as Jesus took the place of Barabbas. He bore my sins. He took my place, and then He saved me. He equipped me. He called me and sent me forth. So unworthy. And yet so blessed. I'm going to praise Him for all of my life, however much I've got left. He's been so good. They came back, and it says also, and they said they among the heathen. Even the heathen can realize that God has blessed us. Unbelievers that don't know Christ as Savior have no part of the Lord and His blessings. They can look at us and they can say, this man, this girl, this woman has been with the Lord. Look at how God watches over them. Look at how God protects and provides and blesses and blesses and blesses. I want to say quickly, I hate that clock. I want to say today, young servants, I have some words of encouragement for you. First of all, I'm going to say that you will know in serving God, you will know the love of some amazing fellow servants. One of the elders in our church and his wife, who is my secretary and our treasurer, Willis Hash and his wife Frances, at our church are some of those people. People who love the Lord, they're very loving. They're very caring and unselfish and very capable in serving the Lord. And they love God, and they have shown so much love to me in the 4 years that I've been at that church. I just really thank God for them. Amazing Christians. I think of my dear brother Melvin Evans. I've known him for 45 years, and the first church I pastored after I came back from overseas in the U.S. Air Force, Brother Melvin Evans served, and it was jokingly said that he was our illegal deacon. I see you there, Brother Melvin. And he was just absolutely, he was so loving, caring, unselfish. It's just hard to believe. And family members, too. I have family members here. My brother Eric has been so loving and caring and helpful. He and his wife, Brenda. All through the years, Eric has been a part of my life. Even though sometimes we were thousands of miles away from each other, he's always been very helpful and caring and unselfish. Paul knew what this was like. You'll read about it in Romans chapter 16. He spoke of Aquila and Priscilla. He says in that passage, he says, Priscilla and Aquila, who have for my life, who have for my life laid down their necks. I can tell you today, I have met people like my son-in-law, Randy. I have met people like you, Brother Benny, Willis and Francis and Tommy and just so many others in our church. People who would have done anything for me within their power, given me their last dime. I got ready to go church planting in Arizona, and I had been in the business. Half of my ministry has been in bivocational work, and at the time I'd been selling cars. And before I left, I was driving a demo at the dealership. But when I quit that job to leave for Arizona, I had no car. And one day, Brother Melvin came to me and said, "Brother, you're about ready to go to Arizona, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You don't have a car." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you do now." He handed me the keys to his own only transportation because he knew I loved the Lord and I wanted to serve the Lord and I didn't have anything to drive. Thank you, Brother Melvin. And so much more. One winter, when he really didn't have a lot of business and really couldn't afford it and I needed a job, he said, "Brother, I've got a job for you." And I don't know how much I did to help him, but I have learned that in the ministry, you're going to meet wonderful people. People who love the Lord and show that love for God in kindness and goodness to you. I want to say also that in serving the Lord, you're going to know the honor of His call. There is just nothing in all the world so wonderful as for the God of all creation to come to you and say, "I've got a job for you," to call you to His service. Oh, what a holy calling it is. And there's not a soul in this room, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, none of us deserve to serve the King of Kings. I'll never get over it. The thrill of being His servant, His ambassador, never ceases to cause my heart to overflow with gratitude. And at home and privately, I try to contain myself, but I get so thankful. I get so full of joy. It's not depending on the circumstances or what's happening around me. It's that deep in my heart I know that I have been born again. I've been born of God. I'm a child of the King. And I know this as surely as He's kept promise after promise after promise, because the promises of God are yea and yea. Amen. And I want to say this. Jesus made us a promise. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Who can shout about that? Ain't weak. Weak. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I want to say today, I'm not very dignified. I beg your pardon, but somewhere along the way, I don't care if you don't like my style. I don't care if you don't like me shouting hallelujah in the supermarket. When I taught Christian school for a while and attended the Good Baptist Church, we had one man in the choir. His name was Bill. Everybody knew what was going to happen sometime in the choir special. Oh my, Bill would be among those other 25 or 30 in the choir, and he would get so filled with gratitude. Somewhere along the way, they're singing. Maybe it was, so precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long, with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. And about that time, they get ready to sing the next line, and Bill would take a breath, and he'd go, "Woo! Woo!" And I thought to myself, way to go. Somebody's got some spirit about him in this place. Not very dignified, but I don't think the angels minded. I must go on. Yes, you'll know the thrill of seeing souls saved and lives changed forever because God worked through you. Give Him the credit. He did. But I'll tell you what a thrill that is. Oh, so many. Not as many as I would like, but time after time I've seen God work. And I've seen people humble themselves and listen to the word of the gospel. And as the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shined unto them, they said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I'll receive that Lamb of God as my only hope of heaven. I'm not worthy, but Jesus, if you'll have a sinner like me, please save me." I want to say also, is this water for me? It is now. Sometimes, anybody else have trouble getting these things open? I mentioned a couple of times when God's servants were rejoicing. When David and his company came back with the ark, oh, what shouting! You know, what a wonderful time of rejoicing. Dancing with all his might. I wish I had that on video. It'd go viral, wouldn't it? I want to say today that it's easy to rejoice if you were among those in exile and word came down that we're out of here. The exile is over. We're going home. Oh, I'm telling you, they look at each other like, "Is it really true? Am I really going home, Mark?" That's what they said. So they loaded up and headed back to their homeland. And they said, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." Have you ever had this experience? You go to bed at night and you sleep and you have this wonderful dream. And then you wake up and you wish you could go back to sleep and finish that good dream. I believe that's what the Israelis were like when they were released from their exile. They were like them that dream. Pinch me again, honey. I don't know if it's true. But there was an effect of that understanding, that gratitude, that joy. We're going home. The effect was rejoicing. Servants rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. That was in the good times. Well, what about the bad times? Oh, my time's running out. But I'll say this, it is easy to rejoice when everything's going good. Like my brother Melvin said to me one time, he said, it's easy to have faith when everything is going fine. But when the business starts to struggle, it's not quite so easy. As servants of the living God, let me just tell you today, I want to share with you a word of caution, because when things are going well, it's easy to praise and rejoice. But when things are going rough, it's a little harder. And I want to say that the mature servants know the importance of rejoicing come what may. That's the title of our message. It is the immature servants. It is the novice who runs into a little complication. And they think, well, I tried this and it didn't work. You're not just supposed to praise the Lord and rejoice when things are going good. Because let me tell you, when things are going bad, we have just as much an obligation to praise Him. What I have is eternal. The Lord spoke through Jeremiah chapter 31. He said, I love thee with an everlasting love. That is not going to go away. Who can't rejoice over His everlasting love? Being the object of that love. The gift He gives us is the gift of eternal life. Folks, what we have is for real. It's forever. And in good times or bad times, when it's easy, when it's hard, I love what it says in Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath delivered out of the hand of the enemy. I've said it many times. He had you in His hand. But Jesus came, and He redeemed us, and now we belong to the King. I'm determined and I'm resolved to rejoice, be glad, and praise Him. When it's pretty weather outside, when it's 38 below as it was in 1977 when I was here, and that's not chill factor, that's the actual temperature. I want to be praising the Lord. I want to be sharing the gospel. I don't care what's going on around me. When that trumpet sounds and I rise to meet the Lord in the air, I want to be busy serving and praising Him right then. Every time you have a convocation like this, it's another time for you. You're not here to really impress anyone or your fellow student or your teacher or the community. You know what? You're here and you're rejoicing to please Him. I can tell you this. My goal in life is to please Jesus. I've said this many times. I know, and I have learned, as long as I'm pleasing Jesus, everything else is going to fall in line. Amen? I see, yeah. I want to say this. I got about 5 minutes left. When you're serving the Lord, you're going to learn this. It could be much harder than you ever imagined. You'll experience physical and mental exhaustion so much that you'll be praying for grace, strength, wisdom, direction. But I'll tell you this, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. To show you, I'll say this, these challenges that you will face are not surmountable, because in Christ you can prevail. The devil will come upon that novice and give him a little hard time, and he just throws in the towel and says, I'm out. But for the mature believer, they're going to say, bring it on, devil, because I've got behind me the Creator of the universe. And I'll say this, through Christ we can prevail. Just a couple of examples of people who were mature and were rejoicing come what may. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and John had been serving the Lord and they'd been seeing great progress, and the Pharisees and the priests were determined to discourage them, so they called them before the council and they threatened them. And it says that they were beaten. If somebody took you in and laid many stripes on you and they beat you viciously, cruelly, you might say, I can't handle this. I didn't ask for this. If you trusted the Lord as your Savior, what are you going to be, a spiritual sponge? You ask Him to forgive your sins, put your name in the book of life, and then you just soak up blessing after blessing and give nothing back in return. I know what I'm talking about. That was the first decade of my Christian life. But I got so sick of myself for being a spiritual sponge and negligent, I finally came to my knees and presented my body a living sacrifice. And I learned the importance of not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind in the Word of God. Paul and Silas were falsely accused, arrested, received many stripes, and locked up in prison. Wow. It wasn't a 5-star prison. It was a pretty rough place. But yet at midnight they could be heard praising the Lord. They were singing praises unto God. I have to say in conclusion, in those good times, let's be rejoicing in God's goodness. And in the bad times, let's demonstrate our maturity and be rejoicing, come what may. I'm reminded of the chorus of a wonderful hymn that we sing. I don't know if you sing it here, but in the churches we sing, When We See Christ. And you know what it says in the chorus? Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I'm tempted to. I have to be dignified. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Precious Lord Jesus, thank You for this opportunity to express my love and gratitude to this college, to those who had a part in shaping me in those days when I knew nothing. Lord, I thank You for those who are learning here today and preparing to be servants of the living God. I thank You for all the faculty, all the staff, all the people who serve here. I thank You so much for Dr. Anderson, who's had such a part in my life, his friendship and his cooperation. I thank You for him. And Lord, I thank You for Your wonderful Holy Spirit who touches hearts and has touched mine. Take these verses we read today. Take these memories and all these expressions, Lord, of Your goodness. Help us, Lord, to be rejoicing come what may. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.